Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
It's beginning to look a lot like Loch Miss. We're coming off of one of the wildest. I turned this game off at halftime. It was yesterday as we're recording this. It was Monday night as you guys are listening to this. Welcome in episode 165 of the Far End of the Bench. I sprung this on Nico. I texted him about it this morning. He didn't think that this was going to be part of the show, but I feel like we have to because it's the Young Jeezy moment 2.0 is what I'm starting to think of it as. Now, Drew Lock has said he's grown up quite a bit, but what in the hell was that? The Eagles are in trouble. Two weeks in a row, they could have had the one seed in their division locked up, and now they've blown it 2 weeks in a row. 3 weeks in a row if you want to go back to 49ers. Ouch!
But man, it's crazy when you don't have the tush push. You can't run the tush push on every damn play. What happens? I'm happy for Drew. I am happy for Drew. Was he going to be good here? No, he wasn't going to be good here. It's just what happens with Denver Bronco quarterbacks. The Broncos have never, in the history of their team, have ever drafted a quarterback and won anything with them. Plain and simple. Never in their history. Tim Tebow is the only quarterback that we've drafted and won a playoff game with. So that's all you need to know. Elway wasn't drafted by us. Peyton wasn't drafted by us. Russell obviously wasn't. So, look, I'm happy for Drew. I'm really, really happy for Drew. And like I said, if it helps them and he gets a become who he was for a couple of those games and when he was playing here, I'm happy for him. I'm glad to see that he's doing well. And like I said, it's a great story. The guy doesn't play for a year and a half. He's hot and cold whether you're starting or playing every single week, and he gets his chance and he balls out and beats the team that was in the Super Bowl last year. So it's all kudos to him. I could not be happier.
They have a couple. I mean, they're receiving core rivals anybody in the NFL right now with Metcalf, Lockett, and Jackson Smith and Jigba, who caught the game-winning touchdown pass. And here's what I was saying today too, because the math teacher that I work with is from Seattle, so she's a Seahawks fan. And Drew Lock is getting way better coaching than he ever had here in Denver, because when he was a quarterback here, he had Fangio as his head coach.
Shermer.
Yeah. And Pat Shermer. So Pete Carroll can win games with Drew Lock because you know what he's going to do? What everybody kept complaining about for the 3 years that he was here. You take the wag out of the puppy's tail. Don't let him be Brett Favre. You turn around, you hand the ball off. Look, you turn around, you hand the ball off. And then you turn around and you pitch the ball. And that's all you're doing. Every once in a while, you throw a pretty good pass and you're going to eat your Jell-O pudding pops. That's it. That's all you're going to do. So it's a cool win for them. That's the way to kick off episode 165. Be sure to follow at FEOTB pod. Check us out on the Variety Sports Network. Every Thursday is where you can find us. And if you missed it last week, we were live. We had the boys back, original bench warmer Jeremy Fear, and Don Pilato, the reigning defending champion of the FEOTB College Bowl Pick'em. We had our Pick'em show, and we've spaced it out. We picked ended up making 9 picks total, including a championship and a national champion prediction. Dom has won the last 2 years in a row. He had the crown. He had the belt. We're all vying for it. There was some good analysis. There were some heated moments. It was an awesome show. Really glad that they were able to come back on. And so far, Nico, you are winning. You're the only one. Everybody else was out on Boise State, and Boise, to their credit, was winning a majority of the game. I know you didn't watch, so I'm going to fill you in. They were winning a majority of the game.
Conference of champions is all I'm going to say. It doesn't matter. Look, like I said, I ride with my boys in the Pac-12. I always will. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say, I told you so. Cause like I said, I didn't watch
it. It was a toss up.
It was a toss up. So, and look, I just stuck with what I knew. And fortunately that gave me a 1-game lead over everybody else. We'll see if it continues. I highly doubt it, but hopefully in my case it does.
Yeah. And I'm going to get pulled up here just to give people, cause this will be coming out on the 21st. So we have picks coming up on the 23rd, the 24th, the 26th, And the 29th, I'm going to do my best to keep everybody up to date, but I'm not going to have Wi-Fi when I'm on my cruise and out of the country. But we have Air Force, JMU. Dom and I had JMU. You and Jeremy had Air Force. We have Utah Northwestern. Everybody was on Utah. And then Kansas, UNLV. I was the only one who picked UNLV. Everybody else had Kansas. And then the Cotton Bowl, Missouri, Ohio State. That one was contentious. Jeremy picked his boys in the Ohio State Buckeyes without a quarterback, by the way. I don't know if you saw this. Kyle McCord transfers to Syracuse. Ohio State, Syracuse.
Yeah, that's wild. You're throwing.
Tell me you didn't like being in the spotlight of college football without telling me, please.
Tell me you wanted to go to a basketball school and act like nobody fucking cares and knows who you are without telling me. Yeah, look.
He's a really good quarterback that's out of the queue right now.
I know.
He's knocked the fuck out right now. They're trying to fix that. He dented his head. I got a cousin Jimmy out back. He dented his head.
I'm going to need the Paisano over here to win me a fantasy football playoff game. It's weird saying that, but the Paisano, I have Justin Herbert, who's out for the year now.
He's out. I think he's concussed.
He is projected points currently for next week, so we'll see. But there's a good chance
that tells me. Oh, Italians can hit their head. It doesn't make a difference.
Well, that's true.
Hey, Tommy, how many cutlets do you see? Two. Good.
He's the man. He's the absolute man in sports right now.
He's my favorite Italian athlete since Rocky Balboa. That's all I can tell you. It's an awesome story, and I have a lot of fun with the Sopranos memes. Let's talk real quick. Just a reminder, we had our live show. We had our re-release of the Nuggets episode. I listened to that this morning. It's really cool. It's one of those – I know that we're just fans, and we don't really have anything to do with the games, but I don't know if you remember, but, like, talking about the feelings and the emotion of the people that you've known who worked in the organization when the Nuggets did win that championship. I mean, I got goosebumps listening to it, and I was there. I experienced it live. So hopefully people, if you didn't, go back, listen to episode 165, check out the live Bull Pick'em show as the games continue to come up. And then moving forward, next week, it will be another re-release episode. We'll have our week 17 picks, and you'll be hearing the sadness that was our first episode following the Bengals' Super Bowl loss to the Los Angeles Rams 2 years ago. And then we're going to be taking the week of New Year's off, and we'll be back first week of the playoffs, super wild card weekend. That's what we have coming up.
They kept the wrestling name, so I'm happy for them. I'm glad they kept the super showdown, the wrestling type of names to all this stuff, because it means nothing these last couple weeks unless you're playing in the fantasy football playoffs for some teams, and at least they're adding a little bit of hype to what could be a massive showdown. But in reality, it's going to be the fucking Commanders versus the Eagles in the first or in the second round of playoffs. First round of playoffs, it's not going to be that, but I'm just saying what's happened in the past. So hopefully super showdown is between two good teams this year, and we have some good teams that, and it's a good first round matchups, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, the Bengals are going to be a wild card team, so they're going to win Super Wild Card Weekend. We're going to have a big, long playoff run to talk about.
Jake Browning going into Kansas City.
Dude, did you see that video after the field goal? That's my dog right now. I love him so much. Since Burrow's out, it's
starting
not
another league for me. He's starting another league, face of a league playoff. I'm not hating it.
He's just, you should have never fucking cut me. Okay. Now I see why you're still here. Because you could have gone and taken a business job. You could have done anything else with that degree that you got from Washington, but you stuck it out and was on the practice squad for 5 years in the NFL, got cut from the Minnesota Vikings when Case Keenum was their option at quarterback and Kirk Cousins. Wow, but it's a story, man. It's awesome. I know your story kind of had a hiccup, but I mean, you're not out of it. You're 7-7, still 500. This could be the first year that you finish over 500 in 6 years. So you still have that to root for.
Yeah, still got that goal for me. Still got that goal for me. And look, do I sit here and be like, well, it's playoffs or death? No, it's not. But when you look at the rest of your schedule, you're playing three backup quarterbacks in 3 weeks. And if you go 3-0, you have an 80% chance of making the playoffs. And that's a very, very good chance. That means you need something to happen, which obviously things happen every single week. But obviously there's still a chance. The division's gone. Patriots aren't going to come through, didn't come through for you, and the Chargers and Raiders are sure as hell aren't going to come through for you in the next couple weeks. So the vision's gone. But
I could help you out there. The Bengals could help you out there, but then that would also hurt you because we're ahead of you in the wild card.
Yeah. Well, at this point, our the team we're looking at is Indianapolis. It's not even you. It's Indianapolis and it's Pittsburgh. Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland.
Pittsburgh will be out of it by this weekend. Mark my words.
That's fine by me. Like I said, we're the 10th team right now. And like I said, you went out. You not only have a chance at the playoffs, but you do way better than everyone in America thought you would. That's the biggest thing. It's like, if we make the playoffs, great. If we don't, whatever. Like if you finish the season 10-7 and miss the playoffs, that is a stepping stone. And that's all we need, okay? Would I like to make the playoffs? Absolutely I would. Absolutely, I'd like to see us walk into Miami again, try to avenge the 70-20 loss, possibly go into Jacksonville, just see what happens. Like I said, just see what happens. Do I think we'll win playoff? No. But would I like to see us try? Yes, I would. So, like I said, 3 games left. Last week sucked against Detroit, obviously. Detroit's a damn good football team, but they're just one of the biggest hot and cold streaks in the league. They're a damn good football team. They're a damn good football team, and like I said, it's one of the last 4 weeks. It was an expected loss. It was expected that you'd probably lose to them. Now, if you take care of business last 3 weeks, all of a sudden you have a better chance of making a playoffs than you don't. So that's all you can ask for if you went out.
You have any thoughts on Sean Payton cussing Russell Wilson out where everybody can see?
I love it. You need some hard coaching. Everyone needs some hard coaching, and it's very funny how we talked about 2 weeks ago now, or 2 weeks ago now, how Kadarius Toney, that whole thing of him lining up offsides. Obviously, the Broncos had lined up in the neutral zone. Quinn Meyers did the exact same thing. He was probably not happy about that, but also 3 tries of the end zone, and 2 of those you could have probably challenged and got a chance at going in, but you probably weren't going to win that football game. Plain and simple. That's just how good Detroit is. I'm very, very high on Detroit, especially what that offense is starting to become. And that defense, obviously, it's not as good as it should be compared to the other teams in the NFC, but they could surprise some teams. But look, it sucks. It sucks to see your head coach do that, but no one has done that to Russ. Right. Can you remember a time Pete Carroll did that to him? Depending on Hackett, sure as hell didn't do it last year. You have a Super Bowl winning head coach, yelling at your star player that you're paying $540 some odd million to. If you can't help hold each other accountable at times like that, then you're gonna go nowhere. And look, the long term of this football team is Sean Payton. It's not Russell Wilson. Okay. So in the long run, I'm going to side with the coach because Sean Payton will be here much longer than Russell Wilson, guaranteed. Russell Wilson has 2.5, 3 years, including this year, left on his contract. He probably won't finish the contract out. Sean Payton will be here for probably another 10 years, so until he retires. So, like I said, if things go well, in my opinion, with Sean Payton, which I think they will. So, you ride with the head coach, and like I said, I'm very, very happy that he's able to grind into guys, especially your star players, because like I said, he knows everybody's looking at him. He knows the TV's looking at him. He knows that video is going to get rerun every news channel in Denver and every news channel on ESPN, and he knows it's going to get rerun. But you have to set the tone that this shit's not okay. And if you don't, if you set the tone and be like, you know what, we deserve to lose that football game, Detroit. No, then your last 3 weeks you're going to be coming in with loser's mentality. That's what the Broncos have had the last 5 to 7 years. And Sean Payton's trying to get rid of that as all you can. It's like, this is not okay. Yeah, we lost to a better team. Yeah, we should have probably lost that game. But the fact that we just put up that 17 points against this defense that is not one of the best in the NFL is pitiful. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. The one time you need your offense to come through, it doesn't come through. It's holding people accountable, and that's not what Russ got last year, and apparently and it wasn't what Russ got in Seattle the last couple of years. And that's why they weren't a Super Bowl contender. They're a fringe playoff team because that's who they're around him. But it was needed. It was needed, and I had no problem with it.
Is the reason why he needed it is because he's never got it before. I don't have an issue with it, and that's how Sean Payton's always coached. He cursed out Drew Brees when he was in New Orleans. So he's not changing. He is who he has always been, and he's a dick. He said that, though. He's not a nice guy. They play that on the radio when they talk about anything that he's saying. No more, Mr. Nice Guy. He's just He's there to win football games, and that's something that the coaches of the Broncos haven't had in the last few years.
He's one of the most hated coaches in the NFL because of the whole
Bounty Gate.
So, and the referees hate him, coaches hate him, and that's just how it is. And look, I don't give a fuck. If the guy wins football games, I can care less. Everybody hates him. People don't like Bill Belichick, and look what he did. And I'm not comparing the two, but I'm just saying you don't have to be a likable head coach in the league, across the league. If you win football games, who the fuck cares?
Yeah. All right, let's transition before we get into some more sports. It is the holiday season. This is technically our Christmas episode. Next week will be our New Year's episode that you'll hear our Week 17 picks. But we talk movies. We've already established that. My favorite's The Santa Claus 2. I have a soft spot in my heart for Christmas Vacation. We watch that as a family.
I love Christmas Vacation. That's still my number one. Right there with Elf.
Elf has been the one that's been fairly consistent, and it's a solid choice. If it's Christmas time, if it's December, if it's even close to Thanksgiving and Elf is on TV, I'm good with watching it. I'm good with letting it play all the way through. It's nice. It's quiet. I know what's going on. I love syrup. I put candy canes, candy corns, and syrup.
Everything about that movie is just absolute gold for this time of the year. It does not miss. It does not miss.
What are some traditions that you're looking forward to? You guys making up the mountain for Christmas, or are you having something in town?
We'll all be snowboarding and skiing on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, unfortunately. Unfortunately, to my better judgment or my – I don't have as much of a say in what my family does, but obviously the Broncos play on Christmas Eve and Nuggets play on Christmas Day, which I will not be in. We're both at home, unfortunately. Broncos game I could care less about. We're going to beat the Patriots. If we lose the Patriots, I'm going to have a long conversation on New Year's is all I'm going to say. But and then the Broncos and Nuggets play on Christmas Day. It's fantastic. We get the NBA champs on Christmas Day playing against Fat Boy Fadeaways, Golden State Warriors. I love it. I'm going to watch it. Or try to watch or listen to it while we're on the slope. So
Speaking of Fat Boy Fadeaway, this is a good chance to plug. You were on the show, and it was pretty – listened. I saw you guys. Obviously, I see the DMs that were going back and forth and the notifications. I'm like, oh, this is different. I'm normally the one that's fighting with people on the account. I'm never the one that's just observing. And you and Tyler were going at it, and you went on their show. And I feel like you guys both defended your point. But, man, I love those guys at Fat Boy Fadeaway. I'll do shows with them any day of the week.
They're awesome. Yeah, I would go back. Like you said, we had a whole 15-20-minute rant about Brock Purdy being an MVP candidate and him being a system quarterback. So was Peyton and Tom Brady. We're not going to have this discussion on here because Jimmy and I probably agree with each other on every single point we have. So that's for another day if we have a joint show again. But we talked about that. We talked about Draymond and that whole situation. Yeah, it was fantastic. I love, like I said, it was much needed to hop back on with those boys, and I was very, very happy to.
I know I cut you off, but other than missing out, is the whole family going up and skiing? Is it including the young one?
Bodhi will be up there. We'll be fitting, what is it, eight people? Nine people. We'll be fitting nine people, including Bodhi, into a one-bedroom apartment. So it should be my mom, my dad, and I, we all went up to Vail this past weekend and built a bunk bed. That was a very, very interesting experience. They're built furniture with family. You'll find out how quickly you trust each other. So we luckily got through that pretty quickly. But, yeah, with nine people.
Just hold a damn flashlight. Hold it steady, please.
And Bodhi has a specific bedtime, so it should be very, very interesting, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's going to be – it'll be different. I mean, that's what you guys normally do. You go skiing and snowboarding, or you guys all snowboard. That's what the family always does. I've talked about it, but we're breaking tradition, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. I am a little superstitious because of the Italian in me, but I am going with my Italian side of the family, so – I guess I'm safe from the curse in that regard, but we normally go over to my grandma's on Christmas Eve. It's been at my uncle's, and then go to see my dad's side of the family Christmas Day. This time it'll be abroad. I'll be in the Southern Hemisphere on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And I don't know. It's a little bit odd for me, but I am looking forward to it. It's the second cruise that we've been on, and I know I'm going to get fat. I'm going to get happy. I'm going to be able to relax. I coached wrestling for 9 of the 12 months this past year. I sat down and looked at my calendar. I was like, okay, A break might
that's
not be
that easy. That's not easy on your body. You deserve a little bit of time in the sun and catching some rays on the boat and playing pickleball on the pickleball courts on the boat. Like you deserve a little bit of a breather.
Oh, people can get work in pickleball. That's for damn sure. I'm good in a 3-foot space. I'm good side to side. That's all offensive line play.
I guarantee you that they'll probably have a pickleball court on the ship. They probably have a basketball court, but I guarantee you they probably do that why the hell would you not? I will
not be making an appearance at the basketball court. That is not – I'll be shooting – if it's by myself, I might shoot some hoops because then nobody can be making fun of whatever my jump shot ends up being.
Just don't shoot the ball over the boat because that did happen. I have seen it happen. I didn't do it. I'm not that bad. But I have seen it happen where the ball
– there was a wave. I swear. It was going in, and I just launched it. Accidentally catch an alley-oop because the boat threw you 3 feet in the air. Holy shit. No, there's karaoke, there's trivia, and it's going to be
Karaoke. So my family did Christmas or on a boat too in 2019, going into 2020, and we karaoke. That was the last pace punishment. Was my dad had to sit up there and do karaoke. I don't have the video anymore. I think my brothers have it or something. But he stood up there and sang Sinatra better than probably Frank could at that age is all I'm going to say. So it was something to behold, but I would expect nothing less for your family to go up and rock.
Six of the 10 nights it's available. And I'm just sitting here like, you're going to have to knock me out to get me off the stage. I will sit here and I will sing Bohemian Rhapsody for everybody. Go ahead.
You might as well make friends with the people at the bar, so like put your name on it. Come see Jimmy Pilato, the Pilato family karaoke night every damn night of the week.
Jimmy Pilato and friends, he'll sing with anybody. It doesn't matter. Just get up on the stage. No, I do have that little bit of a ham in me, but I enjoy it because when I walk up on stage, obviously I look the way that I do, but I do have a choir background. If not that many people know, that was my fine art that I couldn't play an instrument, couldn't learn how to read music, but I figured out how to match tones and stuff like that. So then I get up and I surprise some people. My favorite story that I always tell, my cousin was taking me out to the bars for the first time, and we wound up at, I think it's like Rosa's or something. It turns into a karaoke bar downtown on Sundays only. And we ended up being there, and I got up and I sang Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi. And I was newly 21, like a month into being 21. And a girl walked over to my cousin. She's like, hey, I kind of want to introduce my friend to the guy that's up there. I see you're sitting with him. How old is he? He's like, he's still got the license that's vertical. Like, he's 21, but it's – he goes, oh, yeah, that's probably not going to work out too well. Yeah, unless she wants to go back to his parents' basement. That's probably going to be the only – yeah. Probably not. No, I'm glad Zach saved me from that one. Shout out, Zach. Unfortunately, also a little bit of a sad thing, but I won't be able to spend Christmas with Raleigh. She does get to go and spend it with her family, so I'm happy for her. And, yeah, holidays are always a great time. And now let's bring it back into sports. What is our Christmas wish for our sports teams?
Each team? I don't remember what ours was last year, but I think I might have probably said another championship. I think there's a very good chance.
I'm sure that you did. Let's say that we have to choose between our favorite children, so you can only make a sports wish for one team. And that's the wish that goes to Santa. Your elf on the shelf is taking that one back to the big guy at the North Pole. So you have to choose your team. You have to pick a favorite child. And then you have to figure out what your sports wish is going to be. You got yours?
I got mine. And this is going to be an out of left field one. Okay. I don't know. I think I'm going to surprise you with this one. Look, I got my Nuggets wish last year, so I'm not going to go back-to-back. I think we're going to win back-to-back, but it's not wishful thinking. I'd be disappointed if we don't, okay? I'd be disappointed if the Avs don't make a cup run and make an interesting postseason run. I'd be disappointed if the Broncos don't do a full 360 turnaround. My Christmas wish list is during the third week of March – Grand Canyon Antelopes will win the March Madness basketball game. We'll win a first round matchup, first round upset. We'll be talking about the GCU Lopes with a first round upset over a Power 5 school or Power 4, whatever the fuck they want to call it now. That is my wish list. Like I said, I've had everything I could with all the other sports, right? give me a GCU. We're 37th ranked CBB, AP poll, whatever the fuck it's called for college basketball right now in the country. We were ahead of, I think we were ahead of Gonzaga. We were ahead of Duke or something like that. And I looked, and we have, and look, we have one of the best, we have a better team. We returned a lot of guys, and we're getting Javon Blackshear back. Team's going to be damn good. And I would love nothing more than to be the Cinderella team in March. And because you know, come March, if we're this, if we have a Cinderella team we can ride on, we are going to be riding that pause. We'll be riding on all that all March long, going into NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. So that's my Christmas wish. I know it's not Nuggets, not Avs, not the Broncos. So I went with my 14. Mm-hmm. Yes, Rockies aren't my 14. GCU basketball is my 14. I think it's a reasonable thing. Like I said, win one game, maybe win two games, and let's see what happens. Let's make a little bit of Cinderella here.
You just got to win one. You just got to make it to the dance, and you just got to win one. You went out of left field, so I guess I'll go out of left field too. I don't think that if Jake Browning gets the Bengals to the Super Bowl, I've felt that pain already, and I don't want to feel that again right now. I want I want Burrow to be behind the Bengals if they end up going back to the Super Bowl. So I'm not wasting my wish on that. I had a player in mind, but it's just so unrealistic. Like you should reach for the stars with your wishes, kids, my students, if you're watching, but make it realistic. Otherwise, it just ends in disappointment. So I was going to say I would like Elias Lindholm to become an Avalanche at some point. That would be nice. It would be really nice, and it makes a lot of sense.
Sidney Crosby.
I don't know.
If Pittsburgh starts falling, is all I'm going to say is, hey, Sid, come win you another cup with your best friend, is all I'm going to say. Come on, Sid. Everyone knows.
My Christmas wish is that I get – somehow my family comes through, and we have a cousin that has a connect. I get March Madness tickets. I get to go see the NCAA college wrestling finals. I watch it all the time. It's something like I coached 9 of the 12 months wrestling because I really just I do enjoy doing it. I like watching it, and it's one of my favorite things. So I would love to be at that event. It's in Kansas City or St. Louis this year, so it's easy enough to travel to. And my cousin says that he's able to get tickets. I don't know how he gets those tickets, but he gets the tickets, and they're legit. So
We spent two college sports ones, which is kind of crazy to think about. I will throw one more in there because this isn't necessarily a sports Christmas wish, but like just a career Christmas wish. God damn, I would love to win a PLL championship and hoist the damn cup and have a champagne shower in the damn locker room, either at the Champ Series or both. Champ Series in February 10th through the 20th. I'll be in Washington D.C. or also when we go to during the regular season and hoist the PLL championship. That's not sports, not a fandom. That's more my job. But yeah, I would love nothing more than that.
It's a job. But I guess career wise, I am going to be finishing my licensure program. I'll be starting my master's, next school year. So might be taking a break from coaching to get that done and see where that goes. Because obviously I've made my feelings known to certain people since this is out publicly on the internet. I'm not going to make those direct feelings, but, I just want to move up a little bit and have my set myself up to be in a better situation. I love teaching because it gives me the flexibility to do this. I feel like I could take a couple of years if I get an opportunity and be able to come back. I could substitute. I've been really happy with it. So last thing I'll say, mushy about Christmas, is that I really appreciate all my students. If you are watching, shame on you. Good job using your research skills. Shame on you. You shouldn't – don't use me as your role model. But I do appreciate everybody that I do have in class. It's been a lot of fun over the last couple of years. UFC drama. There's – just,
we haven't talked about UFC in a fat minute, Jimmy.
It's been a while, and things have been building up.
And I had my eyes on four different screens at once on Saturday. I was at the Nuggets Thunder game. I was watching the Avs game before the game started. I was watching the Broncos game before that started, and UFC was on. It was the perfect equinox. The only thing that seemed like it was joyful for me that night was the UFC pay-per-view because it was fun to watch, but. Man, it was a hell of a card. Absolutely hell of a card.
There are a lot of finishes. That knockout, Emmett's knockout of Bryce Mitchell. That was gnarly. That's one of the worst knockouts that I've seen, but it was a clean shot and good on them. There's a lot of violence. It this yep. card produced, but this is what the UFC wanted to do. This was the whole point. That's why they made the matchups that they made. And it even one of the biggest one fell out. The biggest one, you know, publicity and just people talking about it wise fell out. And it was still a card that I think is going to produce really high ratings for the UFC and finish out the year strong for them. Like it's not going to be bad ratings because that fight fell out and the fight's delivered. That was the thing about it. So I think that the UFC won on this weekend. And even though they're ho-humming it publicly, the fights that were going on, the press conference, the shit talking, this is all that UFC and Dana White ever wants. Dana White said he started his press conference. What asshole sits Sean Strickland and DDP next to each other? This asshole. That's who. I make all the seating arrangements all the time. Okay, Dana, I get it. You got a small dick. You have control issues. But what in the hell, man?
291, UFC 291 had – it's going to be – because we're almost at 300. 300 will be early next year. It was the last pay-per-view of the year, right? It's gonna be 4 weeks now until another UFC event, not just pay-per-view, but event. So it's a nice Christmas, New Year's break for everybody. You are going to remember this back of being like this may be one of the lowest points of trying to get clout we've ever seen. Some of the shit that was talked, some of the things that were said should never ever be crossed ever in a million ways. It doesn't matter. Like what? Look, we'll start with Colby. Colby Covington is an act of itself, right? I don't care political beliefs or not. You do not talk about a fucking guy's dead father. That's just never in a fucking million ways ever should ever be allowed. And the fact that you ran like a little bitch for fucking 5 rounds, I thought you won the fight, which was even funnier. It was just beyond me. So that was my first problem with it. And look, I had money on Leon. I was very, very happy Leon won because, like we said, look, I political beliefs aside, whether you agree with political beliefs or disagree with those political beliefs, he's a fucking idiot for saying that and going against the dude's family. You can fucking talk about the other person that you're fighting across because that's mental war games. When you talk about people's family, that's fucking crossing the line. And then to even go further than that, Duplessis also did that, talking about Strickland's dad who abused him as a child in the press conference 2 days before that. It is a stain that is hopefully does not continue to get worse because, like I said, the fight game has gotten incredible.
You know where it came from. We know the genesis of all this.
It's Connor and what he did to Aldo. It absolutely is. You know how to sell this shit, but at the same time, like some of the most exciting fights. Do you want to sell that? Like you can sell very easily some damn good fighters, right? Like Roy Ball and Pantoja, the co-main event, that was a hell of a war. Hell of a war. And those two guys respect the hell of each other. Bryce Mitchell, Josh Emmett, hell of a war. One of the best KOs of the year. Outs cold, turn the lights out. Very respectful to each other. Like it's almost – look, you can talk shit and promote a fight without crossing a line. And that's why I don't like guys like Colby, don't like guys like Strickland, Duplessis, because there doesn't seem to be a fucking line, right? It doesn't seem to be a fucking line. That's why I like the guys like Holloway, Poirier, Usman company that stick to their business. And, yeah, sometimes they're not the best fighters in the world, but you know that they're going to go in and give their all. But they're going to be respectful after. You can hate the guy once the octagon closes, but once that final bell rings, if you're still a piece of shit, then it's terrible for the sport.
It was pretty bad. The other fight that I guess I wanted to talk about, because he is one of the bigger stars, and I do like what he's been doing. He's kind of more of an accessible personality outside of the fight game, but it's Paddy the Batty, Paddy Pimblett. He got a big unanimous decision over Tony Ferguson. His post-fight press: how the hell did he survive that first round, lad? I blew my gas, tank just trying to finish him, getting him out in the first round. Yeah, no, you should not get fat, and you might have more of a gas tank to finish people, Paddy. But great fight, great win for him. But it should be the end of Tony Ferguson. Seeing him in the octagon
Five fights in a row. The fact that he didn't get knocked out was a win in my book for Tony. The fact he didn't get finished was a win. It should be a win to him. And he brought in what was the guy's name? David Goggins in his damn corner. And It's just hilarious. It really is hilarious. Like, you think that, look, I have nothing against David Goggins. He's a veteran.
I read his book. It's good.
He's done a lot of great things, but he's one of the most eccentric, hard-nosed people you ever find. And if Tony thought that, you know what, let me just bring his powers to my fucking 41-year-old ass.
Time out, Tony. You're already the mentally toughest and physically toughest guy in the UFC. I don't think mental toughness is your issue here. I think your issue is that you're slow and your brain isn't working because you've taken so much brain damage. It's not toughness, Tony. Sit down.
It's not toughness. But no, we know you're tough. World.
Throw the damn towel.
It's not toughness, buddy. It's your skill level. And look, Patty showed up with some damn cornrows and was ready to roll. And look, Patty is one of the most entertaining fighters in the UFC. And he has fought a guy that was at the end of his career. He probably just ended his career. He should have ended his career, but he probably just did. And I'm excited to see him face some top five, real competition in that division now, because it's a stacked division. And if Patty can make some noise, he's one of the most entertaining people out there. And he, like I said, he's one of those guys that likes to shit talk. But he's a very respectful person at the end of it. Like I said, he will come at you for fucking wearing fucking pink to a press conference. He'll fucking come at you for wearing sunglasses that are too small for your head. But at the end of the day, the guy will not go against your family, and he will respectfully kick your ass. And that's what he did. And look, Patty.
Respectfully, I'm going to kick your ass.
Look, I love Patty. Anytime Patty fights, it's must-watch TV. So I was happy to see him win. Unfortunately, I had him to win by knockout or submission. It didn't happen, but I'm all over the Patty hype train.
And now we're going to take a look, since we haven't talked about UFC, just top three in each division. Starting at heavyweight, Tom Aspinall, currently the
interim.
John Jones also carrying the championship title after beating Ciryl Gane. And then Sergey Pavlovich is number three, even though he just lost to Aspinall. Awesome. So he's not going to be getting a shot anytime soon. It's going to be interesting to see what happens at heavyweight, because honestly, John Jones may be getting close to retiring. And that was the whole thing. That's what's saving the heavyweight division is John Jones. He's had one fight at heavyweight. And now what?
Isn't it two fights, or am I losing my
mind? It might have been two.
I don't know.
Gane was the first. Gane was the first at heavyweight. I think so he was supposed to fight Stipe and never did.
Okay, so maybe it was only one. But there's not much firepower in this heavyweight division outside of John Jones, unfortunately. Stipe is at the end of his career. Look, it's not a knock on Stipe, but this is a much older Stipe. And Pavlovich and Aspinall being the heavyweight champions, I don't know. Like then the conversation comes back to boxing heavyweights being the baddest men on the planet, because I don't know about Pavlovich, but John Jones, I think, will take that to another level. But the heavyweight division needs to get better, in my opinion. It's struggling. And like I said, they need to create some stars, because they tried to create Ciryl Gane a star. They had Ngannou. He's gone. Stipe's getting older. John Jones getting older. You're going to need to find some guys that kick out some star power in this division, because it's a lot of wrestlers. And no offense to your wrestling, Jimmy, no one wants to see two fucking 250-pound motherfuckers lay on top of each other. It's let's see these two
wrestling in a heavyweight UFC fight is redundant, because there's no point. Heavyweight wrestling is fun because they're so fat and out of shape that it's normally a 30-second pin, because one of them gets wheezy and out of breath and falls down on their back. But no, I agree. I'm not taking any slight, because that's not wrestling. That's UFC wrestling. And yeah, heavyweight UFC wrestling sucks. I remember we were at the Denver fight with Ben Rothwell and some other fat fuck, and they're just dying at altitude trying to wrestle each other. Like, get out. Get me out. Light heavyweight, Alex Brejeja, UFC champion, Jamahal Hill. Number two ranked after defeating Glover Teixeira in his last fight. And Jiří Procházka is the number three after losing his title via second round TKO to Alex Brejeja. So that's the top three at light heavyweight. It's been the marquee division in the UFC for a long time, and those are three studs. And looking just throughout the rest of the division, there's not really anybody that you're like, yeah, I don't see. I mean, Blachowicz is a former champion. You have Ankalaev sitting right out there at five. There's Johnny Walker still. There's Anthony Smith. Those guys are on the decline. But light heavyweight seems to be a division that you can always fill. and you can always find badass guys to take over. You don't have to work. You don't have the same issues at light heavyweight as you do at heavyweight.
Absolutely, there's a lot of versatility in this division. It's a lot of older guys. You're not wrong, but it's a lot of versatility. Guys that are either going up a division or trying to go down a division because they're faster or they're stronger, and that's the fun part about the light heavyweight division is you get the 230 plus guys, but you also get the 180, 190 guys that are gaining weight some more because they have that firepower, like Pereira, like he just did to win the championship. So the division is top to bottom very, very good.
Moving into middleweight, this is where things get interesting because the current UFC champion is actually the number fifth ranked middleweight in the division, Sean Strickland. Top three contenders to possibly face him. He just beat Israel Adesanya via unanimous decision and won the title. Dricus du Plessis is the number two contender, and then Robert Whittaker, who just lost to du Plessis via second-round TKO. Those are the top three contenders, and obviously they have that big fight coming up on January 20th. Even though are there assault charges that were pressed? I don't know how that works because du Plessis is a South African citizen, and he did instigate the fight. I know that that's assault, and you can't do that in a public space, but I haven't seen much of what's coming out afterwards. I doubt that it's going to move the event, the date of the event, but that added a little bit of fuel to the fire to that fight, that little interaction they had this weekend.
Look, it's going to be the premier fight, and it's weird that we're talking about the premier fight in this division. It's not Izzy, right? It's weird. It's weird saying that, but Izzy, his performance against Strickland, terrible, absolutely terrible. He needs to take a little bit of a break and go from there. So I cannot wait because that's going to be an absolute war. I think that's a fight that we'll see. They'll probably see in February, March. I think early. It's going to be early 2024 fight. We'll see.
Moving into welterweight, 170 pounds. The champion, Leon Edwards, successful title defense against Colby Covington. Covington drops out of the top 10 completely. We have Kamaru Usman, who Edwards beat in his third try to win his title. He just lost a major decision to Chimaev, so he's not going to be in the title picture. Bilal Muhammad is the three, and then Khamzat Chimaev is the four. None of those guys have fights scheduled. I think it's going to be interesting. They're probably waiting to see where the Gilbert Burns has a fight that's scheduled coming up, and they have some. There's a little bit of a logjam trying to figure out where people are going to be moving up from. But Leon Edwards has been able to defend his title now, and he's got some tough contenders. I don't know if he's going to be
Khamzat and Leon. Oh, actually, I think they're going to run back Khamzat and Usman with both guys getting full camps against one another. So that's going to be good. But I think Khamzat will be the next guy to get a shot at Leon. I would be very, very.
Do you see Leon holding on to the belt? I don't see him holding on to it for very long.
Against Khamzat, I think I might give the edge to Khamzat. He's an excellent striker. Excellent striker, and the last guy who was a big time wrestler that tried to wrestle with him was Colby, and he didn't even try to wrestle him. And Leon said, "You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go out here and I'm gonna try to re-wrestle you back." And he did. He beat him in takedowns and being successful on the ground until the last 1 minute of the fight where Colby had top coverage over him. Khamzat is a different animal, though. Khamzat is a different animal. And if he beats Usman again, I'd be very, very doubtful to see anyone else get another shot at Leon than Khamzat. Like, I think that's the next person. And I think that they're lining Khamzat up to be the next guy in this division for a long time.
I love the American wrestling system, but I have to say, as good of a national wrestler as Colby Covington was, there's a difference between what he can do on a wrestling mat and what Khamzat can do on a wrestling mat. The Dagestani wrestling program is miles ahead. They have these kids wrestling from the age of six days a week. And it's not like 3 hour super intense long practices. They just wrestle for like an hour and a half a day. Constant motion, constant movement. That's why they never get tired. They have the most gas left in the tank. I'm going to give people a name. I'm going to be doing my best Rev Coca impression here. The name that people need to start paying attention to, and he had a big win on Saturday night also, Shavkat Rakhmonov. I've seen him fight on the undercard before. He just ragdolled Stephen Wonderboard Thompson. Can't speak a lick of English. So I don't know exactly where he's from. I guess I can get that pulled up real quickly. It's obviously not anything European or any Kazakhstan. He's a Kazakhstani fighter. He is a beast. He is going to be an absolute monster for whoever has that title, he just has to get a little bit more time under him, and he has to have a marquee fight. He has to get onto the pay-per-view. I think he was still an undercard fight, but that dude is a menace at 170.
And look, Wonderboy is at the end of his career. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, like, dominating a guy that was that's been on top of his game for a very, very long time is huge for his career. Like I said, this division, it's going to be popcorn season. It's going to be the premier fights in this division for a while. This one and I want to say the Volkanovski's Makhachev. Those are the two divisions that it's going to be absolute wars every damn night in that division. It doesn't matter who's fighting who. You know you're probably going to get a top two fight of the night between two of these guys in the top 10. Absolutely, because they're all so damn good. All so damn good. Like I said, I would not be surprised by the end of 2024, we're talking about Rakhmonov getting a title shot. Like, seriously, he gets two fights, two wins. He could be the next guy in line very, very easily. Very easily.
Moving up to down to lightweight now, 155. You mentioned Makhachev. He is the champion. We have Charles Oliveira sitting out there, former champion Justin Gaethje, who is the BMF champion after his win over Dustin Poirier, and then Arman Tarukyan. I've not seen him fight, but he did move up into that like third spot technically for a chance at the title. Makhachev is that dude. He sometimes gets a little bit wild. If he goes off of his game plan, he things can get a little bit hairy, but he hasn't had to do that much in the UFC, and he's a champion for a reason. It's his division, and these guys are going to have to step up that are below him right now.
And look, the biggest fight will come out of this division, technically this division, but really the 170 division. It's going to be UFC 300, and it's going to be Conor McGregor versus Michael Chandler. That's the mega fight. That is going to be the UFC 300.
Two guys out of the top 10.
I guarantee. And that's probably because of the inactivity, and because it's not like I said, Conor hasn't been active. Michael Chandler hasn't. I don't think he fought this year. He might have at the beginning of the year, but I don't think, like I said, it's inactive.
I think the last time he fought was when he almost kicked Tony Ferguson's face off. But that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. So like I said, it's because of inactivity. That's why. But getting those two headlining UFC 300, going to be absolutely insane. That's going to be a weekend where we probably have Rev back, and we have our own little bonus episode, because that's going to be unreal. Because we'll probably have John Jones versus Aspinall on that card. It's going to be an unreal card, as long as I'm saying. And that's what these two guys are coming from, this division. But yeah, this division and Merakian, I know the face. I obviously have not seen his fights. I know I've seen him fight a couple times, but I'm not very, very familiar. But this division is crazy, absolutely crazy. And like I said, it's wild because Volkanovski has had the last two title opportunities in this division, right? Oh, actually, Charles may have had the one before that, but he has had two of the last three at minimum. And this division is absolutely stacked. So like I said, Makhachev is going to have to go on a Khabib run in terms of beating some damn, damn good opponents here to keep his fight. Because, like I said, he may think about moving up, but there's some good fights in this division that he doesn't need to.
Yeah, moving forward, we'll go just quickly touch on the champion at each of the divisions just so that we can get into the pick'em and not go overboard on anything. We do have to mention a big trade coming out of the Avalanche before we get into that too. Featherweight Volkanovski hasn't defended his title, but he is scheduled to defend that title against number 5 ranked Ilya Topuria. Should be an interesting fight. It's a big chance for Topuria to kind of put himself up in that category, because Volkanovski, he's been the champion for a while, but when you don't defend your belt and you've not had to cut all the way down to 145, I'm interested to see what that's going to look like now moving forward and coming back to your normal division. Did your body get out of whack? Did you throw something off keeping those extra 10 plus pounds when you were fighting at lightweight as opposed to featherweight? And is that going to be the advantage that this Topuria needs to pull off an upset? Those all seem like plausible connections to me.
Could be. No, I still don't think anybody can beat Volk outside of Makhachev. I'm that high on Volk. It's going to take Demetrius Johnson level Henry Cejudo knockout of being like, who the fuck is this guy? And he beat him. It's going to take that to surprise me. I don't think it's going to, at least for another calendar year.
Down to bantamweight, we got Sugar Sean. The Sugar Show is the UFC champion after beating Aljamain Sterling. He has a fight coming up against Marlon Chito Vera, and that will be
There's one loss in the UFC was to Chito, and that was at the Apex during COVID. So I'm very, very excited for this fight. It's going to be very, very good.
March 9th is the scheduled date for that fight. So that's going to be right around the March Madness time. That's going to be an absolute war. Moving down now into the flyweight, 125, Alexander Pantoja, who had the big defense over Brandon Royval, and he continues to be the 135-pound champion. Moreno is the next guy that in line, and he has a fight scheduled against Amir Albazi. And they'll probably be fighting to see who gets the next shot at the title. But Royval and Pantoja had a hell of a fight. I didn't know how I was going to feel about 125s when they were initially bringing them in. I mean, I liked Faber, but like 125, how exciting can those fights be? They're always moving. Constant. They're tapping each other. Some of those guys can bang, though. And that's where it gets fun. And it looks like I didn't watch the fight. I'm going to watch the replay of it. But looking at Pantoja after holding up his belt, this one of those fights that take a little bit off you.
Look, I watched that fight because Royval is a Colorado fighter, fights out of Factory X. One of his corner men, Mario Correa, he is my dad's jiu-jitsu coach, funny enough. He gave my dad his black belt. Or actually, he's not black. He's at purple right now. But he's been getting – my dad's been training with him. So funny enough, it was funny enough seeing him there. But Royval, he was on his back, and he could not stop a takedown. And it was – Pantoja did have to get stood up to break that fight, and because he'd be in activity on the ground. But when he was standing up, Royval was piecing him, especially in that fifth round. So this is, like I said, this is the division: Moreno, Royval, Pantoja, and the fight. I forgot who you said Moreno's fighting, but
Albazi.
Yeah, all four of those guys can beat each other any given night. You have God of War, Davison Figueiredo, who moved up a division now, so he's out of the picture. But this division, top to bottom, can beat anybody on any given night. There's not a front runner, because I cannot sit here and say Pantoja is easily the best fighter in this division still, even after beating Royval. Like he I don't know if he's better than Moreno. Yeah, he's beat him, but like I want to see it proved again, because this division can be that much of a variance any given night.
Moving up to women's bantamweight now, 135s. I don't see a champion listed, but there is a fight scheduled to decide that champion at UFC 297. Raquel Pennington and Maria Bueno Silva are going to be fighting on January 14th. Oh, so right after the...
Isn't this Amanda's division? Didn't she just retire?
Yes. Excuse me. Yeah, that fight's going to be January 20th against Maria Bueno Silva.
I was going to say, yeah, because this is Nunes, and she just retired at the middle of the year. I'll say August, somewhere around there. I don't know what, but yeah, that makes sense. And like I said, this is the heavyweight division for the women. It doesn't have a ton of firepower. And they don't call it heavyweight. I don't know what they call it, but it's the heaviest division. It's the heaviest division, but it's not. I don't know enough about this heavyweight division to say this person is way better than this one, is all I'm going to say.
No, I have no idea. I've not paid attention to 135. I know Holly Holm is still fighting there, but
There's a chance that Shevchenko could move up and be like, I'm done cutting this much weight. And just after she lost to
She had a split draw against Alexa Grasso, who's the women's flyweight champion, and they're not scheduled to have another fight anytime soon.
Yeah, she's lost two in a row to her too. She lost the fight.
She lost it in a split draw.
Yeah, so I it's going to be probably Shevchenko moving back up to win this division, if I were to guess. I'm not making predictions, but I would take a guess. I'd probably be happy.
All right, that's the update for MMA at the end of 2023. It was a big year for the UFC. And Dana White's happy. He's got the power slap money. He's gambling with Taylor Lewan on a regular basis, it seems like. And he's just out there enjoying life and being Dana White. It's time to get into what everybody enjoys from this show. Actually, before we do that, let's just mention Tomas Tatar. Thank you for your very quick. And thank God for you got a goal before you got traded. By 90 days, 3 months, in and out, he's traded to Seattle for a fifth-round pick in this upcoming year's draft. Felt a little soon, but there were people calling for it. And really, if he was going to stick here, he would have needed to put himself either on the second or first line at skill level and production wise. And it's just not there. He's not as fast as he used to be. He may go to Seattle and he may still put up 15 goals, but it's not like he was really going to be able to do. He's just so slow. Him and Johansson look like they're carrying trucks trying to skate next to everybody
else. I'd be very surprised, Jimmy, if Thomas Tatar scored 14 more goals in 50 games. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. What I saw from this year, he was not doing much. He was not doing much, and the Avs needed a little bit of youth on that back end, so they decided to go younger, which I have no problem with it. When you dump a guy for a fifth-round pick, guy you just signed in the offseason for literally nothing, like it shows goes to show what the Avs wanted, and Tatar was just not in that plans.
All right, now we can get into the pick'em, and I mentioned it to Nico. I've made up that ground. I'm 42-40. He's 40-39. He's coming off a 0-5 showing in week 17.
I'm going to blame it on the fact that I didn't get to see the week before's games. I'm just going to say that. And
we're doing that again later on. So
I'm doing it again for next week's show. So, but we'll see. All I'm going to say is I'm a trend guy, and obviously it's the upset of all upsets may happen this year because of these parameters is all I'm going to say. I'm not saying there's an asterisk, Jimmy. I'm just
I know that you have to find some way to justify it, and that's fine.
The fact that we're 0-5 twice this year, if I win somehow and you don't beat me after I went 0-5 twice, 2 weeks out of the 17, is a disgrace, is all I'm going to say.
I could totally play it safe too, because we only have 2 weeks left in the regular season, then we transition over into the playoffs because we're taking a bye for week 17. So I could play it totally safe and just pick all the same games you do, and there will be no movement, and I will have made up and won my championship.
That's why you always pick first usually, so luckily –
I'm not doing that. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it damn right. I'm going to win. I lie, I cheat, I steal, but I'm not going to do that. There's too much integrity that goes into the far end of the bench pick, and we've been doing it too long. But yes, I have the standing scrolling up down below, and let's get into these games for week 16. Oh, by the way, I texted you it this morning. The fact that I called the Eagles Seahawks upset 2 weeks previous.
That was impressive. Very impressive.
Don't quote me on it, because I was just grasping at straws. But holy
neither of us thought it'd be Drew Lock starting that football game too.
If it was Drew Lock, I would have been on the birds. Oh my goodness. This week, Thursday night football. Hopefully it's not what we had last Thursday, because that was an absolute embarrassment.
There was a football game Thursday?
Yeah, there was. Actually, Brandon Staley got fired. I know that he's still really confused by it, because he's like, I don't know why. We're not that bad. Really? Really? Oh, by the way, I think we got the results back from that poll you tweeted out. And the Raiders are the Chargers, 62-20 was deemed the worst loss, yes.
The Dolphins are a top three – a division leader in the National Football League, but the Raiders were the last team in their division. Is all I'm gonna say.
They're on an interim head coach who is not getting the job next year. I know Antonio Pierce had all that hype when he first started, but he's not gonna. They need to go out and get an actual guy who knows how to head. Yeah, something like that.
Bring the Patriot way back to Vegas. That's what they need.
There's a lot of co-eds that Bill Belichick can sneak out of their houses at 6 a.m. in the morning in Vegas. That would be good for him. Let's talk about this actual game Thursday night. This is basically what they have to do on Thursday night football, because the games have been so bad. And this one, I would tend to say, is probably going to be along those same lines. Derek Carr just needs to sit his ass down. You're hurt, and these guys are no longer going to block for you, because you're playing hurt and you're playing like crap. And it's showing in the frustration. The fact that an NFL franchise can't control their players enough to where you can tell the offensive line hates Derek Carr's guts, that's not good. This needs to change. They should have made a change a while ago. And now Thursday Night Football, the Rams are back on the upswing. They're favored by 4 points. Go ahead. You'll make your pick first.
Look, the Saints kicked my ass last week. I bet heavily on fucking Tommy, is all I'm going to say. I bet heavily on Giants plus the 6, and their pass rush obliterated that shitty Giants offensive line. It was Cameron Jordan had an absolute field day against good old Tommy. That's why he's on the concussion protocol right now, okay? So that I will not say any bad things about where the Saints are. Dennis Allen probably won't be the coach next year for them. The Rams, I will be riding the Rams here there's a couple things going on this. One, I need Puka to have himself a fucking day, because, like I said, three leagues he's in for me, and I need him. I need you now tonight, okay? I really, really need you now tonight.
And I need you more than ever.
I need you, buddy. Like I said, you heard me earlier in the show. I'm starting Tommy fucking DeVito and Jake Browning in two leagues. Jake Browning will do me good. Tommy DeVito probably won't do me much, okay? But give me the Rams. Puka, please have a day. I'm begging you, please have a day.
I'm also going with the Rams because I hate the fact that I just don't like the Saints, what they're doing this year. They could be so much better. They're just not great.
Do they still have a division chance? Like I don't know what the
records are. Yeah, of course they do. The Falcons just lost to the Panthers. Yes, they still have a very much a division chance.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that happened.
Did you see the tickets were – sorry to get off topic. You can buy a ticket for a dollar. 40 cents to a dollar. Wild to me. It looked like a COVID game. I really did.
What happens when White Goodman is the owner of your team? You sold your team to White Goodman. This is me grabbing the bull by the horns. It's a metaphor, but that actually happened. Moving from Thursday night football, which is atrocious. I think we might be different on this one because you remember what happened the last time we picked the Bengals over the Steelers and it didn't go well. And I can't go against Jake Browning now. I said it. He's my dog. I was very concerned after his first outing against the Steelers, but what I forgot to give him credit for was that it's the first time he's played in 5 years in a competitive football game. He's now gotten his legs back underneath him. He's figuring out who he is as an NFL quarterback, and damn, I don't think I'm going to be able to keep him around as a backup anymore if he continues to do what he's doing. But we're still on the outside looking in it. If we can finish above 500 and have an outside chance of making the playoffs, kind of like what you were saying with the Broncos in a year where Joe Burrow started off the season unhealthy. He got healthy and then blew his wrist out. Like, if I can salvage something out of the season that wasn't, oh my God, I can't wait for this next top five pick that I'm going to have to talk about for the next 6 months, I'm all good with it. So I'm going to go with the Bengals. I'm picking the Bengals to beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh. I know that was a cursed place for us, but that was Big Ben and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. It's not these Steelers. These Steelers are soft as kittens.
Look, the Steelers kicked my ass last week because I needed them to beat the Colts. I really did. Broncos country needed it because you look at the Steelers rest of their schedule. They're probably going to they have three very very tough games. Play Bengals, play Baltimore again. I think they still play Cleveland again. Maybe there's one different game, but they still play three very very tough games, and it's more likely that Pittsburgh loses these games than the Colts lose to fucking. To some terrible ass teams that they play at the end of their schedule. So do I feel like this could be a game I get back? I don't know, man. I'm gonna go Pittsburgh. I'm gonna tell you why. One, it's Jake Browning on the road against the Steelers. He hasn't played on the road in Pittsburgh. That's the tough. That's probably the biggest thing for me. I have no doubt that Jake. Look, I have doubt actually because Jake. I need Jake Browning to
350 yards on Monday Night Football in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's a much easier place to play than Pittsburgh. You and I both know that. Jacksonville, it's a damn party down there. Talent wise, they're much better football team than Pittsburgh. It's not even close. Absolutely.
And did you see George Pickens last week? Did you see George what Pickens. He was?
George Pickens will be out of the league. George Pickens and Chase Claypool will be bagging groceries here in 365 days. I'll bet on that.
Guys that won't give effort. That's just I don't know.
It is funny though that look, Matt Canada was the biggest problem everyone was saying, right? And they fire him. They fire Matt Canada, and all of a sudden the two man not monster, but the decent two man running game you had just has disappeared entirely. There was a stretch where Jalen Warren was the number one running back in fantasy football for a couple weeks straight because of how many touches he was getting, and Najee Harris was getting the red zone touches and punching in the end zone. Running game is just gone, absolutely gone. And you have and look, the one thing that would help Mitchell Trubisky, help this good defense, help Kenny Pickett if he was in, would be a running game, and you just completely got away from it. So. Look, am I confident? No. Do I need to get one back? Yeah, give me the Steelers. I hate it. I hate everything about it. I hope Jake Browning throws from 500 yards because I need it. I need it. But yeah, I also need
That would be nice for you. That would be nice for you. And Tommy Cutlets is going to run in for a couple touchdowns. Let's just manifest it right now. Hey, Paisano. Let's go. Sunday Night Football. Your Broncos host the Patriots. You're favored by a touchdown. That's a good thing that we can say. What do you got for the people before we get into the Christmas Day games?
The Broncos are going to win. It's not even – I don't need to say much, okay? If we lose this weekend, which we won't record another episode for 2 weeks now, I will be coming – I'll be very, very hot is all I'm going to say. And like I said, if the Broncos don't finish this season above 500 with the last three games you have left, I'm going to be very, very disappointed, plain and simple, because I think you should at least get two. The Raiders at the end of the year scare me, but this should be one you get, and you definitely should beat the fucking shitty Chargers, okay? That's all I'm going to say. After, you should definitely beat Easton Stick and Bailey Zappi is all I'm going to say. I'm not going to touch the spread. I really don't. I'm not going to. I'm just not going to. So quit asking, okay?
Yeah.
So quit asking. So
you beat me to it, damn it.
Give me the Broncos. The Patriots are an absolute shithole, and they're right now trying to tank for that number two seed. And thankfully, they somehow have a shot still at the number one pick and getting Caleb Williams. Let's not forget because of what the Panthers did last week and almost winning to fuck the Bears over. So they have a chance of getting a top two pick, and if the Bears decide to go Marvin Harrison, Caleb Williams will be a New England Patriot, and then here we go again. That's all I'm going to say. So it's a Broncos. Patriots will be tanking. It will be fun to beat Bill one more time at home is all I'm going to say. A place that Bill has not had much success at. He's had success nearly everywhere else he's went. There's one place that he has not won. He's not have a winning record over one team in the playoffs. That's the Denver Broncos still. Okay, so he does not like coming a mile high. So give me one last swan song getting his ass out of here with an L.
I was thinking about going opposite of you because that would be really cool to get a game up on you and for the Patriots to be the reason as to why. Not cool, but like just competitive-wise, that would be like a double-edged sword. It would be a double whammy. But thinking about the performance they had last time Sunday Night Football was here, the primetime game was special. This team is not as talented or as flashy as maybe the people were expecting, but they know how to win football games. And yeah, I mean, Belichick barely won here when he had Brady. I remember Brock Osweiler beating the Patriots on Sunday Night Football with C.J. Anderson at running back. I wanted to go Patriots, but I flipped. You convinced me. You changed my mind, and I'm going to go Broncos for Sunday Night Football game as well.
Yeah, we lose this game, there's going to be a lot of questions. And look, I'm serious when I say this. If Russ does not have a good football game and you get embarrassed on Christmas Eve, Jared Stidham will start the last two football games. I'm serious.
All right. I think that's a fair take, honestly.
I think
he's had enough chances.
I think there's a chance Sean Payton may say, you know what, playoffs are out of the picture. Let's see what this guy has. I think that there's a real, real chance that happens. I mean, he fucking did it with Taysom Hill when the Saints were not making the playoffs. They're like, fuck it. Like, Jameis isn't winning his football games. He may not be the answer. Let's throw Taysom out there, quarterback, see what happens. I would not put it past him. That's all I'm going to say. If the Broncos lose this game by double digits, Russell Wilson won't start another football game for the Denver Broncos. I'll say it. Plain and simple. But do I think that they will? No. I think they should win this game very, very easily.
I think they should win it too. Christmas Day, starting things off, AFC West rivalry. Chiefs favored by 10 at the Raiders. A lot of problems in the Chiefs kingdom right now. Kelce had a drop. Kadarius Toney had a drop that turned into an interception. And Patrick Mahomes now on the sideline. People are turning into lip reading experts left and right. Also for Taylor Swift, by the way. She's got a mouth on her. You see that? What the
Let's pause on that real quick. But yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Don't need to get
canceled now, Jimmy. We've seen what people say about
if the Swifties drive our numbers up. That's all. I'm here for it. Daylight's one of my Cruel Summer's one of my favorite songs, Swifties. So I know what I said. I'm saying that she cursed, okay? But it's also she's from Philly, so that means that she's real. Maybe she's becoming a real person with Travis, and maybe that's what I'm kind of enjoying about it. But I think that the Raiders probably blew their wad last week when I'm looking at this game now. How do you come back from scoring 62 points? Do you think that you're the man? Max Crosby was on Thursday Night Football shirtless smoking a cigar with a hat backwards on Thursday. You can't bring that attitude to the Chiefs and beat them. So I think that Kansas City gets the win and they're going to put the Raiders.
The Broncos need the Raiders to win the Super Bowl game, but to try to have a chance in the division still, which is very, very minimal that you have a chance still, but still a chance out there. But I look, it's in Kansas City. The Patriots absolutely, or the Patriots came into Kansas City and look what happened there. Kansas City said, "Oh, you think it's cute to run some trick plays on us and think that Billy over there can coach with the bag of trash?" No, Andy Reid will still coach circles around him with the players he has. Chiefs can win this football game. This is not. Look, if you pick the Raiders here, I'm gonna want to get a game back very, very easily. Is all I'm gonna say. So I'm going to Chiefs.
I also pick the Chiefs. I can't give you back one that easy. We will differ on. We'll differ on the last Christmas Eve game. I'm hoping that I don't have to do what I think I'm gonna have to do, but we'll see when it gets there. Moving forward, Giants Eagles NFC East matchup, and now the Eagles hanging on. They're spiraling badly. How do you let Drew Lock do that? Drew Lock is more likely to give you the football, just hand it to you, than throw a touchdown pass like that. I think it was good coverage. It was a hell of a play that they wanted on. But the fact that the Eagles couldn't score more than 20 points, they've been stuck at this. Their offense scored one touchdown the week before. Two weeks ago in San Francisco, it was field goals and nothing else. This team might be broken, or they might be trying to fix themselves on the fly, and I don't know what's going on.
This team has – look, there's a saying, and we use a saying when I built this the bunk beds in the Vail home. There's too many Chiefs and not enough Indians in this team. There's way too many people with way too many loud mouths. Sirianni thinks he fucking runs the NFL with how much he talks to referees, how much he flips off Pete Carroll on the sideline staring at him, how much AJ Brown pushed a guy on the Seahawks over. You had the whole incident saying "fuck you, Kansas City" as you left the Chiefs tunnel. And look, I didn't mind it. I don't like Kansas City, but there's a mentality that the Eagles are doing that has. Dare I say it, ruined Philadelphia sports the last 5-10 years, right? Philadelphia 76ers try to embody the grittiness of Philadelphia. Look what it got them, second exit after second exit. The Phillies thought they were better. Harper's the man. Trey Turner, fastest guy in baseball. We're so much better than you. They lose, don't even make it to the world, win a World Series. The Flyers, just bad team after bad team. The Eagles, past couple of years, they have won Super Bowl, and that's because of Nick Foles. Like it's congratulations, but you're one of the most mediocre football teams in the history of the NFL. They're actually, and I think I'm very, very true with what I'm saying. One Super Bowl over 70 years, whatever it is, mediocre. That's all I'm saying. Mediocre. And the state of Philadelphia is mediocre.
But who are you picking?
But the question on everybody's mind, is it fucking Tommy's time, Jimmy? Is it Tommy's fucking time? Is it? Look, I need Tommy to play well. I need him to play well. I've already been over this. I need him to play well. I need to win this pick'em somehow. And if I have to pick wildly the week after this, wildly the week after this games, I will. But I can't. Look, if Tommy DeVito fucks me, then so be it. But I'm gonna go to the Philadelphia Eagles. I've said it like the last 3 weeks that the Eagles can't lose. Back to back, they can't lose back to back. They can't lose back to back. And here they are losing three of their last four. So I mean, fuck me, right? Like they can't, right? They're too talented. They're much more talented than the New York Giants. Is all I'm gonna say. More talented. And look, I'll go on saying this. If the New York Giants beat the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, I will buy a Tommy DeVito jersey and wear it. Wear every damn pick'em for the rest of the season. Or when we talk football at all, I'll buy a Tommy DeVito jersey. Plain simple. I will. And look, there's a chance I might already do it. I'm just saying it because I've looked. I'm that big of a degenerate when it comes to jerseys, but I will buy a Tommy DeVito jersey if they beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's. I'm glad you said that. And here's where I'm going to start to swerve the people. I'm going with the Giants because you see, when you come to me. And you have this thing that we call loyalty, respect. I like the boy. He does good things.
Oh, man.
He brings people joy.
Are you going to give me an offer I can't refuse?
I'm giving you the offer you can't refuse right now. I'm taking the Giants because I want Tommy DeVito. Oh. He's got to win. He's got to prove himself to the family. When he proves himself to the family, we'll burn that picture of the saint in his hands. and the Saints will have a Philadelphia Eagle. Italian on Italian crime. Tommy DeVito versus Rocky Balboa. And I'm taking Tommy fucking Cutlets. Tommy Cutlets, baby. I'm also getting a Tommy Cutlets. My mom is getting me a Tommy Cutlets sticker for my back windshield. So now we'll have I have the Italian hands in a flag in the flag colors. I have in the middle, it says don't be a chooch, which don't ask what don't be a chooch means because then you are. And now I'll have Tommy Cutlets down in the corner. There we go. But I'm going Giants. Give me the New York football Giants.
Look, Jimmy, I did this last week. I did that last week when I bet $50 on the Giants covering plus six is all I'm going to say against the damn Saints. I wish I could be there with you. You know I'm half Italian here. You know it hurts. You know it fucking hurts, man. But I need my luck to turn around. I've gone 0-5 twice this year, Jimmy.
Never go against the family again.
Oh, look, Tommy DeVito may be the death of my pick'em winning streak is all I'm going to say. And if it is, then so be it. Then I die on my sword of being Italian and picking against Italians. But
It would be like Rome all over again. We're stabbing Caesar in the back. Last Christmas Day game before we send the people off. And then Nico and I get to record our picks for next week. Ravens at the 49ers. This one could possibly be a Super Bowl matchup because now in the AFC, who the hell knows who's going to make it out of that washing machine of the playoffs. 49ers have just established themselves. Last week should have been a look-ahead spot, playing a bad Cardinals team. Didn't happen. Took care of business, won by 20 points. And now you're hosting the Ravens, who are leading their division. They're your favorite by 5.5.
Leading the
AFC, leading their division, what was once thought of as the best division in football this year, when all the teams were over 500 and solidly in the playoffs. But now we come to this, and my Kyle Shanahan just this is his time. I feel like if it's not going to happen this year, then I don't know when it's ever or if it's ever going to happen. But if there's a better shot, I mean, let me know. Is this the best shot that he's had in San Francisco? I mean, This is the better than the team he had in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, 3 years
this
ago.
This is the best shot Shanahan has had since 2001, Jimmy. Since Elway retired, okay? This is the best shot he'll ever have, plain and simple. And this is a team that was in the Super Bowl 4 years ago, 3-4 years ago, whenever it was. Like, this team is not far off. But like I said, they have the MVP. They have the MVP, Jimmy.
Christian fucking McCaffrey,
okay? And like I said, I paused
the highlight video, and that way we can just sit here and admire it while you got to see this, guys. Look up Christian McCaffrey, Valor Christian highlights. Please do yourselves a favor. It's the best and one mixtape you will ever watch.
It's unbelievably stupid how good he was, okay? And he's still that guy, okay? Like I said, you have the best player in football. You have the best defense in football. The Ravens, you need to look. This is a week the Ravens prove it to me that they're a real Super Bowl contender, because I still think that they're third or fourth in the totem pole in the AFC. I put them below the Chiefs, probably put them below the Dolphins, probably put them below the Bills because they're the hottest team in football right now. I put them in terms of chances getting on the AFC. And the Ravens need to prove it to me. If you go into San Francisco and beat this team, I'm going to be singing your praises as you should be the lead front runner in the AFC, plain and simple. And like I said, Lamar Jackson was hurt last year. This team was still in the playoffs, right? We make jokes about Lamar Jackson being a running back. To quote a good friend of mine, Tyler McGurk, Lamar Jackson is a great game manager and knows how to win football games by not throwing the football, okay? Plain and simple. And I'm not picking the Ravens, though. I don't believe in them still. But I'm going the 49ers. This is not surprising if it went the other way. I'd not be surprised at all. But I think the Ravens are – it's a prove-it week. It's an absolute prove-it week, but I'm going the Niners.
All right. I said I'd be opposite, so I have to pencil in the Baltimore Ravens, even though I hate that team. I don't want them to do well. Them winning makes it harder for my team, but I will go with the Ravens. So, recap of the picks. We both have the Rams.
Are you second in the division, right? So what's are the Ravens are they've already clinched the division basically.
Ravens
right?
are first, the Browns are second.
Okay.
And then the Bengals have 10 wins are already, third. Right?
Ravens have 10 wins already?
Yeah, the Ravens, I think they have 10. They actually have 11, I believe.
Okay, I was gonna say
Rams game that they won in overtime. That they should have lost, but they ended up winning. But I'm looking it up now. The Ravens.
I was gonna ask if you still had a chance at the division, but
11-3. No, yeah, they're 11-3.
It's out of the question unless you have a tiebreaker, which I don't think you do. But yeah, so I'm going to 49ers here.
No, they beat us twice. Damn it, they beat the shit out of us twice. Okay.
Doesn't Cleveland have a win over them? And they play them one more time still, right?
Cleveland has one win over them, but Cleveland has three. They're down by four games because Cleveland only has seven wins. All right. I have Rams, Bengals, Broncos, Chiefs, Giants, and Ravens. Nico has Rams, Steelers, Broncos, Chiefs, Eagles, and 49ers. So there will be some movement. I've made my way back in front of Nico. Will I be able to keep that pace? We won't know, and we won't be able to tell you until after New Year's. So it's going to be suspenseful. Trust us. You're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to jump off.
By New Year's, either one of us could be leading the pick'em, one of us will have won the pick'em, and one of us could be leading the college football pick'em. So pick'em. So we'll see. We'll see. And all I'm going to say is I got one game up on everybody. So don't let me get hot.
Stay tuned throughout. Be sure to tune in that first week after New Year's. It'll be, let's just shoot for, because I know the date, January 9th is the day that we go back to school. So let's say January 9th is the day that we'll record our next episode. We may go live since we had to take a little bit of a break for the holidays. But that's when we'll be back. I'll have updates for all the pick'ems. And once I'm back stateside, I'll be tweeting out stuff and making sure everybody knows what's going on. Be sure to tune in next week for the Week 17 picks plus a re-release of the Bengals losing the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And like I said, one more thing. Happy holidays to everyone. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy whatever you celebrate. I hope you have a great time with your family. Enjoy a Denver Nuggets Christmas Day win again. Hope everyone enjoys it. I hope everyone enjoys a Broncos Christmas Eve win. And it's a happy holidays for everyone. From everyone here, I know Jimmy and I, like I said, we were very appreciative for this great year. We've had a great year. We've had a lot of fun times, a lot of great some of our best moments of the pod have come in this calendar year. So we're very, very thankful and we're excited to see what 24 brings and hope everyone has a very, very safe and wonderful holidays with family and friends.
Yeah, I echo that sentiment and I tweeted it, but let's just mention it. You guys made our last week's, the bonus bowl episode. That was our highest viewed episode in the last 4 years of doing the show. So if you're new to the show and you want to learn why people are starting to take notice, go back, listen to that episode. But we can't thank everybody enough for tuning in. And I mean, we do this for, we love sports. We love talking about sports and it's awesome to be able to share our opinions and we met awesome people through it all, but the Benchwarmers are the real reasons why we do this. So yes, happy holidays, whatever you're doing with your family, make sure you tell them you love them. Hold on to them tight. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host Nico Bryant, episode 165 of the Far Into the Bench podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.